Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns in four.
One, two, three, four.
4 minutes of nonstop Suns news, highlights, and takes on the team. Brought to you by 72 Sold. 72sold.com, where you can sell your home in 72 hours for thousands more than selling the traditional way.
Suns in four.
Yep, Footprint Center, the site last night, Golden State, Phoenix, in a very anticipated matchup, and things got started early, and a tone was set by DeAndre Ayton.
Give it to Booker, cutting by, Booker on the drive, go to the rim, off the glass, can't get it, Ayton follows on the rebound and scores, D.A. controlling the glass, and following and hitting the hoop for the Suns.
Yep, first bucket of the game for DeAndre Ayton. He would finish with 24 very early in the action, but about midway through the first quarter, Chris Paul started to put his fingerprints on the game.
Steal, Bridges, 15-footer, no good. Rebound, DeAndre Ayton, gets it out on top. Three-pointer is up, Shazam by Paul. Chris Paul hits the 3-0, and the Warriors want a timeout.
Yeah, 3-point lead for the Suns at that point. Later on in the second quarter, Suns, they did get a bucket off of another steal, this one from Devin Booker.
Second one to Anderson, he throws it away. It's another turnover for the Warriors. Suns have to take advantage. Booker on the drive. Booker to the rim. Booker scores.
That was the good news. Suns still trailed by three at that point. That was the second to last bucket Booker would score. He left the game later in the second quarter with that hamstring injury with about 6 minutes to go. But it wasn't Steph Curry doing damage, Bick, for the Golden State Warriors. It was Jordan Poole in the first quarter, and it was Otto Porter Jr. in the second quarter.
Here comes Toscano in the corner to Porter. A three-pointer is good. Another three-pointer.
Yeah, Porter was shooting them from all over the place. At that point, it was a 45-36 game. Warriors led by nine. We'll go later to the second quarter. And with the in the last minute of play, Chris Paul hooking up with DeAndre Ayton.
Paul now edges out at three-point range. Goes inside. Here's DeAndre Ayton. He scores it right underneath.
Great pass by Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Great
pass.
Fantastic pass on the finish, 56-54. At that point, that's where we stood going into halftime. But a little bit of a pall in the arena because you knew Devin Booker wasn't coming back
Chris
likely.
Chris Paul? All right. Calling him little?
Ooh. Yeah.
No, you're right. A little bit of a pall is accurate.
Now I'm shaking.
Sorry.
I mentioned Jordan Poole. He was red hot early, and that continued into the third quarter.
Inbounded it comes. Out on top, now in the corner for three, and knocking down the three-pointer is going to be, guess who, Poole.
Yeah, he is.
A lot of open looks early in that game.
He did, but he can really shoot it, He does not lack confidence. That three, which was his sixth of the game, cut the Suns' lead to three at 72-69, and Golden State wasn't done putting the pressure on. The son of the glove getting involved.
Fires it in the corner, but it's picked off and stolen by Poole. He takes it in underneath, and going in for the jam is Gary Payton II.
That was a nasty dunk.
Gary Payton II has had some nasty dunks this year.
And he was the last guy to make that roster.
Yeah.
He got cut and then re-signed.
Right.
He's a guy who's barely hung on in his NBA career, but he's done some nice things. That dunk tied the game at 75-75. Suns led by two. Going into the fourth at 80-78, and they started to hit some shots. One, courtesy of number 99.
Chris Paul waiting with it. Over it goes to Crowder for three. Suzanne J. Crowder.
Then it was Chris Paul after Crowder's shot made it a six-point lead. Warriors try to answer, but Chris Paul answers right back.
Picked up by Porter, the bigger man. But Paul going to work on the drive. Gets in underneath. Fadeaway score. Chris Paul.
Yeah, so you could kind of smell, kind of see the finish line if you're the Suns, but still a little bit of doubt in the last minute of the game, and Landry Shamet ended that doubt.
Porter picks him up, ball on the drive, gets it out to Shamet for three. Shazam! Landry Shamet with a timely three.
That put the Suns up 10. They would end up winning by 8, and here's the way the final second sounded.
It comes down to Mikal Bridges, sellout crowd on their feet. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. It's over. Suns win. What an NBA basketball game as the Suns have come away with a victory, 104-96.
Al McCoy, the Hall of Famer, on the highlights here on the Suns Radio Network. Al will join us later for his weekly Wednesday visit. Al about the Suns, that's coming up at 8:30. 17 wins in a row, Chris Paul.
It's cool, man. And you sort of forget about it just because we just be hooping.
Right.
You know what I mean? Seriously. And we prepare for every game the same way. And when you do that, it's about building habits. And like I said, 13, and I've been on one, 17 in a row. And it's a really good feeling. So, you know, to go the whole month without any losses, regardless who was on the schedule, that's tough to do.
Yeah.
That's a nice bit of a flex there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Isn't that crazy? That means two things. One, you've played a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been on some really good teams.
Yeah. Well, and you are the leader of teams, and you teach them to act like professionals, to prepare every single night. That's how you put together win streaks. There's no coincidence that he's got three of these things, because that's what Chris Paul brings to an organization. Chris Paul, when this championship, if when this championship arrives, that signing is going to be, they got a lot of other pieces. Yeah, there's a lot of people who have a part of this.
Oh, yeah.
But that guy and that mentality, he has changed everything for this basketball team. Everything.
Remember a conversation we had about, it was with Amino Hassan, who was with ESPN at the time, used to work for the Suns, has been critical of the Suns organization, but I think when they've done good things, he's definitely pointed that out. But I remember having a conversation, too, about it seemed like the Suns had turned the corner, obviously first with the hiring of Monty Williams, then the bubble, but Amin told us, you don't build culture overnight. It takes years and years and years to build culture. I don't think there's any doubt that the Suns have a culture. It exists.
Yeah,
Chris
no doubt.
Paul and Monty Williams at the forefront of it. And yeah, maybe it's taken 2+ years to do it. That's still way ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, when you look at Golden State, how long did it take Golden State to get to championship level? With Steph Curry and Klay Thompson as big pieces of it, they floundered for a few years,
yeah,
and they had baby steps. I mean, the steps the Suns have taken in building culture and becoming a championship-level team, it's, you know, that's interesting
it's
to
stunning.
Consider.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Here's Chris Paul talking about that specific subject.
It's a tribute to everybody, you know, especially the coaching staff, the guys that have been here, you know, those guys that have been here for years. You know, they went through some 19-win seasons. You know, and they stayed the course. You know, they did what they did in the bubble. We did what we did last year. But even coming in this year, you know, it's the foundation that was set. And, you know, you look at the team we just played tonight. You know, they've been doing that now for a long time. And I think that's what most teams around the league are trying to build.
Do you feel that you were an important cog to all this when you came in here?
Of course not. man, listen, I'm here. I try to do my part. If I can help anywhere, I'm always here to help.
Nah, he was chasing a paycheck.
Yeah, right.
He wanted to get out of Oklahoma City.
That's so silly.
Coming up next, during their history, the Phoenix Suns have not been necessarily known for their defense, but man, is that changing, and it was definitely on display last night. We'll get into Mikal Bridges and the defensive performance of the Suns straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata Mornings.
The shot making was there in the first, but I just thought we weren't communicating well. And our bigs were, one time JaVale was back when he should have been up, because they use their bigs to get their guys open. So I just thought the defense got a lot better from a communication and connection standpoint after the first quarter.
That's Monty Williams, head coach of the Suns, talking about the defense, the communication improving, certainly the case. And I brought this point up earlier, and I don't think this can be undersold. The Suns, one of the hallmarks of this winning streak, Bick, has been improving defensively during the course of games. It's really hard to come out and be engaged for 48 minutes on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
It's really hard for offensive teams to shoot the ball well for 48 minutes. But we've seen the Suns you know, give up these stretches or quarters where, you know, the opponent is feasting on them defensively. And whether it's a quarter break or a timeout or the halftime break, the adjustments that are made both tactically and individually in terms of effort and focus, you keep doing that, you're going to win a lot more basketball games. And that was right at the heart of it last night. The way Golden State started with, what, 35 points in the first quarter, they shot 65% for a good portion of that quarter. And you were, I think if you're a Suns fan, you're bracing, whoa, they did this without Steph Curry being all that hot?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, look out. And then what Mikal Bridges has done defensively as a wing who doesn't necessarily, you know, show up in big stat categories like block shots or steals, but he's had a couple big steals games lately. Defensively, a great player has become an unbelievable player this year. He had 2 points last night and was the most impactful player on the floor.
Listen, he made James Harden look foolish in the previous game, and last night he was alternating making defensive plays on Steph Curry and Draymond Green. The range of that is mind-blowing. We've seen it. We've seen him guard bigs. We've seen him jump over bigs to deflect entry passes. We've seen him anticipate passing lanes. He's making that jump. A lot of people going into this year predicted this next level for Mikal Bridges, and I was a little suspicious. Not that I didn't think he had the game. I just didn't think there was the room in this offense and in this team to make that kind of quantum leap when he doesn't necessarily force the action offensively. But you're right, the way he's impacting games defensively is just it's of that special caliber, that elite level defender. It's not just at the rim like Rudy Gobert. Uh-huh. This is elite level kind of stuff. This is Dennis Rodman kind of stuff.
Well, what made it even more impressive for me last night was when you have a player who, you know, obviously is very talented and very pivotal to what you do defensively. Mikal Bridges, again, this is a fact. He struggled offensively. He did not look engaged offensively. There were no three-point attempts. When was the last time Mikal Bridges didn't shoot a three?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't really taking the ball to the hoop with authority or getting that mid-range jumper that he's added this year. There were a couple of fast breaks where he was the point man on the break, and they were just disasters.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when you're struggling on one side of the ball, it'll affect the other side. It didn't affect him at all defensively.
Yeah. No. And I think that collectively the defense down the stretch saved Monty Williams from a big moment of embarrassment. In Suns in four, we played those bookend threes from Jay Crowder and Landry Shamet. In between was Monty Williams jumping off the bench to celebrate because he thought Steve Kerr was calling a timeout, and he got teed up for that.
It was weird.
Yeah.
And it happened right in front of me. And I kind of, you know, when you're into the flow of the game and you can kind of sense when a timeout is coming based on that game flow.
Right.
And the way that Steve Kerr had been calling his timeout, I expected it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Kerr did get up off the bench after that three, and normally that's the signal. Monty Williams thought it was a signal too, so he's out in the middle of the floor. The officials had no choice really but to call that technical foul, and they hit the technical free throw, and you're hoping that the damage is minimized. But Monty, after the win, he could have a little bit of a laugh about it.
On the technical, was that just you?
No, it was me.
Okay.
I thought Steve called on timeout. And I was so excited. Jay hit the shot, man. And then I saw it. I felt like I was, you know, those National Geographic deals where one of the animals falls and all the stampede just runs him over. I couldn't get out of the way fast enough. And I was just thinking, Shaq and a fool. You know, I was like, I'm going to be on one of those shows.
Yeah, no, he is.
Hey, you'll take it when it comes with a win. But it was, I think, one of the moments where the energy in the building really got cranked up. And a lot of people, even this morning, not interfacing with a lot of people, but even on social media, a lot of people like to use me as the gauge. What was the energy like in the building last night? It was good. It was the best of the year, regular season-wise, not surprisingly. It was not playoff level.
Okay.
When the playoffs started last year and the Suns started letting, you know, full capacity in that building, that fan base didn't just want wins. They were out for blood.
Yeah. That is true.
And last night, it was great.
I thought the only moment it got there was Landry Shamet's three, but that's just me watching it on television.
Yeah, it got very, very loud at that point, too. Yeah. But, you know, the pregame energy, I definitely felt it more in the playoffs. And again, that's to be expected. When that playoff drought ended over the spring and the summer, that was a hungry fan base. And now they get a little taste of success. It's still November. I kind of liked that it wasn't at a fever pitch last night. It was, again, I'm not diminishing the crowd that was there. It was really good. But what we saw in the playoffs last year was historic.
What we saw in the playoffs last year had people calling that the best home court advantage in basketball.
Oh, yeah. Experienced media members who have been at every gym in the world, and they said that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. People who had been to Sacramento during those cowbell era, people who have been to Utah, people who have been to some of these really crazy tinderbox kind of basketball arenas. Yeah, it hasn't been that way. But again, it's also, we're just into December now. So, yeah, I think all that is coming. The last thing I want to say about this, about the defense, and particularly Mikal Bridges, is it's not only is defense contagious, but I think in the case of Warriors fans, they are all trying to pin and pivot on this. Well, come on, that game was a close game down the stretch. Steph Curry was 4 of 21. Steph Curry's better than... Steph Curry was 4 of 21 for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference.
When you have to work that hard to get your shots off.
Yeah, and Mikal Bridges has been doing this without a lot of squawking, and he'll talk some trash. But when he started guarding James Harden full court against the Nets, that's an impact statement in the sport of basketball. Oh, yeah. You are giving a guy a heads up that I'm going to be into you. And guys like James Harden and Steph Curry generally don't like that kind of stuff. And Mikal Bridges is imposing and changing basketball games just with his attitude playing defense.
Just look at Steph Curry's stat line from the fourth quarter. He played 11:09 of the 12 minutes in the fourth quarter, 0-for-2, 1 point. That was it.
And how about this? Devin Booker goes down. How many people in the national media today are going to be talking about a 37-year-old point guard playing 40 minutes of high-stakes basketball?
And again, hitting super clutch shots.
Yeah. And his just demeanor, he is just so steeled.
It's unlike anything I've ever
seen. It's fabulous.
It's so much fun to watch.
It is.
Suns and Pistons tomorrow night as they try to push that win streak to 18. Attention, Cardinals fans, we're issuing a code red all next week as the division rival L.A. Rams invade State Farm Stadium on Monday Night Football, December 13th. Text RED to 620-620. Listen for your name during 7:30, 12:30, 4:30 next week to win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. That's RED to 620-620. Coming up next, we'll get you caught up on the big stories of the day. Sarah Cazell's got your Rush Hour reboot. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata Mornings. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
All right, Valley, let's get going. It is the Rush Hour Reboot here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. I am Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley.
Hi.
Vince Murata. Hi. And Jarrett Carlin. signature noises all around. I love it. On the Rush Hour Reboot every day at 7:30, we get you caught up on the top stories of the day. I think we got some stuff to talk about here in the Valley. I don't know. I think there was a basketball game last night or something like that. The Suns winning 17 straight games now, taking down the Warriors, who did have the best record in the NBA. So let's dive into that game last night, and then we'll talk a little bit of college football playoff rankings as well. So much to appreciate from last night's win for the Suns over the Warriors. On top of keeping that streak alive, which, you know, big picture doesn't really matter, but it's fun to talk about. On top of that, they did it without Devin Booker from about midway through the second quarter on. They held the Warriors to their first sub-100-point game of the season. Even in their other two losses this year, they still broke 100 points. Plus, a big part of that, they locked down Steph Curry, who had the worst shooting night of his career when attempting 20 shots or more. He shot 19% from the field and 21% from three over 36 minutes played. Monty Williams said after the game that the Suns team showed a lot of toughness last night.
The toughness to hold a team like that, the way that they score to 18 points in the fourth quarter, is something that we can, you know, reference and set in 19 in the second. You know, so we're an improving defensive team for sure. But to me, this was just will and toughness. Not a lot of scheme, not a lot of play calls. Our guys just willed themselves to a victory.
Okay, with that said, who or what, Dan and Vince, impressed you most about this win?
The focus of the defense after the first quarter to lock down for 36 minutes, led by Mikal Bridges. But we haven't talked a lot about Jay Crowder this morning.
Yeah.
But that was a Jay Crowder game.
Yeah, it was.
When, you know, he's hitting threes, he's being an irritant, he's playing defense. He committed a really, really terrible foul at a crucial stretch of that game that sent him to the bench because it was his third foul. But he came back after that and played really well. I mean, DeAndre Ayton's defense, both in the post and down low, but out on the perimeter on Curry. I mean, this... I can't overlook what happened on that end of the floor last night.
Yeah, to me, I agree with what Vinny said, but my emotional takeaway was just the collective performance of a team that can make defensive stops in sequence late in games, that can make big shots when needed. Just how comfortable this nucleus of players are in those huge moments, and how incredibly fortunate we are to have a team like that. That's what I was feeling.
And no one looked panicked.
No.
Very cool, very calm.
They embrace those moments. That's, and again, not to get off on these idiot critics, but to me, that's the thing. You can see this. You can see this coming off this basketball team. They act like they're the defending NBA champions.
They really do.
They do.
That's a great point. Yeah.
I think you just coined a new phrase. Idiot critics, we could turn that into critiots.
I like it.
Ooh.
I like it.
Isn't that a cronut? No? That's already been done?
I had a cronut.
Of course you did.
Over the weekend.
I'm sure you did.
What?
Yeah. Hanukkah is a big donut holiday.
And also a big cronut holiday.
Now it is.
That's right. Well, you guys mentioned DeAndre Ayton. What a great game he had last night. 24 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal for good measure. After the game, DA reflected on going from the Suns' 19-win season in 2018-2019 to where the team is today.
We just got some young guys who know how to play basketball. But at the same time, you know, we're willing to put in that, you know, to take that constructive criticism and, you know, just, you know, not take it personal, but, you know, but learn. And, you know, that season where we only won 19 games, it wasn't really, you know, no disappointment. It was just a lesson learned, you know, that we never want to get back to that ever again. And that's what we're showing.
Okay, DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and Mikal Bridges all were part of that really brutal 19-win season. Which of those three guys has made the biggest strides from then until now to help the Suns get where they are?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question.
It is.
And I hate to sound all Pollyanna about it. It might be a three-way tie.
You got to pick. I know they've all made tremendous strides, but you got to pick one.
Booker.
Yeah, Booker.
Booker wasn't playing a whole lot of defense at that point.
Good call.
He plays defense now. Oh, he's become a more complete player. He's become more of a late game killer, thriving those circumstances. Those other guys have made tremendous strides, but I can't ignore Booker.
Yeah.
He was just Evan Booker back then, but he finally put the D in Devin.
Oh, I see what you did. That's good.
Boom. Thank
you. Like that. Boom.
Anything you want to add to that, Vic, to that assessment?
No. What he said. I think, yeah, Devin Booker has come a long way in terms of just all around range of his game. I agree with Vinny.
Yeah. All right. One last Suns question, and then we'll get to the college football playoff rankings that came out last night. The Suns, as I've been mentioning in the updates and you guys have pointed out as well, they have now tied the all-time franchise record for consecutive wins, 17. The first team to do that was the 06-07 squad. I mean, everyone knows Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion, James Jones. Which team is better? The 06-07 Suns or this year's team?
Well, the 06-07 team won 62 games.
Mm-hmm. They won, in just winning streaks, they won 32. They had a 15 and a 17.
That's crazy. Yeah. I've said it before. I think time is going to prove that this is the best team Phoenix has ever had. That's what I believe.
I lean that way as well, but you're asking me the question on a Wednesday morning, so I'm still saying the 06-07 team. We know how that ended. One of the most ultimately frustrating seasons in the history of this sports market. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm giving the nod to them. But there's a lot of ceiling for that to be reached by this team.
No question. No question about that. Okay, the college football playoff rankings came out last night heading into the conference championship weekend. Number one, Georgia. Number two, Michigan. Number three, Alabama. Number four, Cincinnati. And then Oklahoma State and Notre Dame just outside at 5 and 6. On Saturday, this Saturday, we will have Georgia and Alabama, the number one and the number three in the SEC championship game. We'll have number two, Michigan, and number 13, Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. Number four, Cincy, and number 21, Houston in the AAC championship game. Number five, Oklahoma State, and number nine, Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. And then Notre Dame at number six, chilling at home, taking it all in. What are your guys' takeaways from last night's rankings? And who do you think will make that final four, that top four?
Yeah, this earlier. I've got a sneaking suspicion that Michigan has been vaulted too high. Based off their win over Ohio State, which was very, very impressive.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're going to lose to Iowa. I think Iowa's got a terrific defense, and they got a terrific head coach, and I think Michigan's going to get caught up in one of these can't-score kind of football games, and they're going to lose it. I think Georgia's going to beat Alabama, but I'm not certain of that. Georgia's got they've had issues closing the deals on seasons before, but they are that good. I want this to come down to the fact that I want Notre Dame to sit there and be able to move up to put even more highlight on what Brian Kelly just did to that team.
Gosh. Pain.
This is the one time in my life that I actually feel sympathy for Notre Dame's football team. It's never happened before.
They finally got snubbed.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know this because I wrote this in a column today. After years of milking the system finally played Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
But has it?
Not yet.
I guess we'll see.
But the Brian Kelly thing,
they can advance by sitting on their couches.
If the college football playoff committee says, we're not going to let you in because you have instability. We don't trust you as a team going forward.
Which would be completely unfair.
But they said they'd consider it. Of course it would be completely unfair.
One of my takeaways, though, Sarah, to go back to your question, is if it remains those four going into the playoff, I think it's the most lackluster field that we've seen. I'm not even, like, Georgia's defense is legit offensively. Big deal. Alabama's got issues. Michigan could Michigan at any time, and Cincinnati might get in and get beat by 11 touchdowns.
I think the college football playoffs should just really, like, remove all the curtains and just put in Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson.
Let's just
put them in.
No, Ohio State and USC.
Yeah.
With Lincoln Riley.
I'll close with this. I love college football. I don't think I'll ever not love college football. But I'm real mad at it right now.
Yeah, you and me both.
I'm sleeping on the couch right now.
No, you put college football on the couch. You keep the bed.
Yeah, you know what? That's right. Get on the couch, college football.
Yeah.
Don't look at me.
By the way, your clothes are on the sidewalk.
There you go. Thank you, Sarah. That's the Rush Hour reboot every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, hey, why not? It's not every day we get a 17-game win streak to talk about. Could it be 18? Could it be more than that? We'll open up the phone lines, get your thoughts on what the Phoenix Suns are doing right now. 602-260-9870. I think we'll call it a Big Orange Wednesday. Hey, why not?
Yes, do not ask how we're doing. We're doing great. And come with some takes.
602-260-9870. Your phone call's next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Bickley and Murata Mornings.
17 in a row, tying the franchise record, second time the Suns have reached that figure. They got there with a win over the Golden State Warriors last night, 104-96. We've been spending a lot of time talking about the Suns, their performance, what it all means. Want to hear from you. We open up the phone lines on this Wednesday morning at 602-260-9870. Open phones for a little bit here. Let's start out with Ramiro in Avondale, who's up first here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. What's up, Ramiro?
Hey, guys. You guys are the best. So just real quick, I definitely very excited about this whole winning streak. For me, I think one of the biggest takeaways from the game yesterday was the way that DA played. And I was on kind of the boat of, you know, DA is not a max player because he played great in the playoffs, but against the best center, he didn't play great. But for me, it's, you know, we don't have Booker. You know, he's most likely not going to play on Friday. And if he goes out and dominates again and plays the way he did yesterday, it's almost like you have to pay the guy the max deal, because if the Suns don't give it to him, another team is going to give it to him, hands down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ramiro, I think you're hitting on something that's going to be real interesting as we get towards the summertime, and that is what happens with DeAndre Ayton. Didn't get it before the deadline. Can he still get it? Yeah, he's a restricted free agent. There's going to be teams that are going to offer him the max. And he's got an opportunity if he, you know, and I'm of the opinion he did enough to earn that.
So
whatever. Doesn't matter now. Mm-hmm. He still has the opportunity to change the minds of the guys that are signing the checks with the Suns. And last night was a real good step in that direction for DeAndre Ayton.
He was just so bouncy and everywhere in that first quarter. They were smart to get him involved early. He hung back and poached a pass and got a steal. He was phenomenal guarding Steph Curry on the perimeter. Yeah, that's good DA. And my takeaway was big game sharpened him up.
Yeah, and he was coming off two performances in New York and Brooklyn, especially the Brooklyn game. He kind of looked out of sorts, but bounced back real nice last night.
Yeah.
602-260-9870 is the phone number. Tanner's in Scottsdale. He's up next here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Hey, Tanner.
Hey, going back to what the last caller just said, that Michael Porter Jr. Max is looking great, huh?
No. Oof. No. For Michael Porter Jr., it is.
Yeah, no doubt about
for
that.
For him, it is. He'll be getting money to be on the sidelines for the rest of the season.
Maybe two seasons.
Yeah, but what I wanted to go back to was the win streak. It brings you back to when the Warriors won their 20-something games in a row, something like that?
Something like that.
This stuff's exhausting. Like, ideally, you'd want to break the record, maybe get to 20, but winning this many games is, it's exhausting even for fans. I can only imagine how it is for them. But it's been an incredible streak, and their defense and their continuity is, them and the Warriors, you can just clearly tell that they're a step above almost everyone else in the league. But Bridges is just insane to me. The fact that he can only have 2 points, and I thought he, besides Ayton and maybe Paul, was the best player on the court, was incredible. So regardless of how long Booker's out for, I think Ayton and Bridges, it's going to be big for them. And I also think Cam Johnson, who was starting to get into a rhythm, seemed like he got hurt. I'm not sure if you guys have an update on him, but he was playing real well last night.
Yeah,
but yeah, he gutted through.
It's fun to watch. Well, it is. And talk about them and the Cardinals being the two best teams in the leagues. This is such a great time to watch every sport here right now.
Thanks, Tanner. What are we calling this city?
Lit City, Vinny.
Lit City, baby.
Yeah, I was thinking about the graphic. The I in Lit will be Devin Booker's number one, his jersey, and then the I in City will be Kyler Murray's. So we'll have the eyes will be the number ones of those
so it'd be
two
like
guys.
A Suns jersey.
Yeah, with the one.
And then the Cardinals jersey.
This is where we ask for our graphically talented people in our audience.
To do that.
Yeah, mock this up for
Vic. Mock that up for us.
Yeah, don't steal it.
Bickley_Marotta, tweet us the picture. And right. We're saying it out loud on the radio, on record.
And I have a feeling I know who's going to do this. I'm not going to say until it comes to fruition.
I thought you were going to say it. You have a feeling you know who's going to steal this.
Yeah, Cam John.
Now that is funny. I've got that feeling too. That's smoke right there, Jared.
Cam Johnson was hobbled as the game went on. Monty Williams said it looked like cramps and he battled through. Hopefully it was just that. Let's go to Steven in Phoenix, who's up next here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Hi, Steven.
Turn your radio off.
Steven, you there? Nah, we gotta let Steven go. Victor in Mesa is up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Victor.
Hey, what's up, guys? Congratulations for your new show in the morning. I've been watching, listening to you guys since you guys have been in the middle of the day.
Thank you.
I just want to let you guys know, I heard Steph Curry put out a police report on Bridges last night for false imprisonment. The winning streak, I'm not too worried about. I'm just worried about them, you know, progressing as a team every week like they've been defensively. I'd like to see a little bit more out of the bench, but, you know, we took the W, so that's all that matters. We're doing good, man. I hope we just keep it up and keep this progression going, really. Yeah. I'm proud of my boys, and appreciate you guys taking my call.
Thank you, Victor.
Thanks, Victor. Victor hits on something interesting that I think a lot of Suns fans are going to have to reconcile, because the streak is going to come to an end, and winning streaks can become stressful distractions for the fan base, certainly. And this could come to an end tomorrow night, could come to an end Friday night, but when it ends, there's going to be that feeling of emptiness. Oh, man, they're not unbeatable. But Victor hit on it. That's not the goal. The goal is not to reel off all these wins in a row.
No.
It's to get better as the season goes on.
Yes.
And that's, you know, whatever happens, that's still the attainable goal and will be the goal for this team.
My gut feeling on this, Vinny, is twofold. Number one, the Suns have been through the playoff gauntlet. The addition of Golden State to the top of the Western Conference means, in my opinion, there are going to be no easy draws in the Western Conference playoff. Ooh. None. So pursuing a one or a two might sound good. You don't sacrifice anything for that. I completely agree with you. Emotionally, do not start to get upset if they lose a couple of games in a week. That's not the goal here.
Mm-hmm.
Taking this winning streak and pushing it and it's nice, but again, it's about being healthy and being primed up when the playoffs get here.
Let's squeeze in Tony and Chandler before we end this segment. Tony, you're up on Bickley and Murata Mornings.
Hey, quickly, before I say anything, I don't know if I'm on the best worst show or the worst best show. Am I supposed to love it or hate it?
But, both. That being said, at all times.
Yes is the answer to that question, Tony.
That being said, it was a great game. I mean, what more could you ask? The win streak, I thought they were a mid-pack team at the beginning of the year. Obviously, I've been proven wrong. They're a force to be reckoned with. And as far as Booker's injury, next man up. That's all I got to say. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. They're going to rely on that mentality. Came up last night.
Yeah.
Chris Paul brought it up. But, yeah.
Man, listen, if they can survive the loss of Frank Kaminsky, you see what I did there? I got Jared's attention with that one.
I'll fight you. Don't be Smirch Frank, man.
Yeah, all right. All right.
It's heartbreaking.
That's a good name for a band, Be Smirching Frank.
That is a good one.
Thanks for the calls. We'll continue this Wednesday edition next. Bickley's got your blast straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.